Welcome to Monterey Bay This Week from KAZU News. It's Saturday, July 18th. I'm Katie Brown. This week, a nationwide foodborne illness outbreak stirred up questions and answers about food safety and sources of contamination. Yesterday, KAZU's news director Amy Mayer reported that past incidents have helped boost protections. Here's that story.
After a 2006 E. coli outbreak from spinach, California growers decided to ramp up their food safety protocols. Now, a state program requires documentation of crops as they're moved. Richard Smith recently retired as a UC Cooperative Extension vegetable advisor. He says bins of lettuce get labeled in the field, then a processor washes, shreds, and bags the lettuce before packages are labeled again.
That's a kind of a routine thing that the companies do, is be able to do what they call trace back to field.
But in a statement, the International Fresh Produce Association, an industry group, said lettuce from multiple fields can be mixed at that stage. So, quote, there's no way to separate out which grower's product is in any given bag, unquote. Federal officials have identified iceberg lettuce from Mexico as a source of the current cyclospora outbreak.
That was KAZU's Amy Mayer, who also reported on speculations that were circling earlier this week about what was making people sick. California is still not among the 34 states with higher than usual cases of a foodborne illness, but as Mayer reports, local crops could be hurt by rumors about what's making people sick.
Max Toplitsky is chief scientist at the International Fresh Produce Association. In a voice memo recorded for KAZU, he said federal investigators start with asking patients what they ate and where they got it. Next, they look for a common source in the supply chain.
Each business is expected to preserve its piece of the chain. Investigators then assemble those pieces to determine where the patient's exposure intersects.
Toplitsky says he's disappointed certain crops have been blamed without conclusive testing. Cilantro suppliers are dealing with fallout, he says, after rumors it was the source. He's worried lettuce, a major local crop, could be next. And, he points out, water can also spread the pathogen. In 2025, Monterey County produced fruits and vegetables worth $4.5 billion.
That was our news director, Amy Mayer. On the topic of health, 27 Monterey County students wrapped up their Summer Health Institute at Salinas Valley Health this week. The five-week program offers an inside look at medical careers as hospitals continue facing a workforce shortage. KAZU's Jillian Smith has that one.
Ammonia from breaking down the food. It'll be in smaller doses so his body can manage that.
Students are practicing for their final presentations after shadowing professionals across the hospital. 17-year-old Jillian Guevara from Salinas says she's leaving with a much broader understanding of the people behind patient care.
Before this program, I originally thought healthcare was just occupation, just as nurses or doctors, but after the program, I found that there was so much other people in healthcare.
Dr. Robert Castro, the medical director of the neonatal intensive care unit, mentors students in the program. He says a major goal is to entice them to serve their community.
It is so imperative that we get individuals that have backgrounds that are similar to our patients that we take care of.
For Castro, showing students the real grit it takes to succeed in healthcare isn't meant to discourage them. Instead, he wants to prepare them for the intense challenges ahead.
They're going to be competing with students whose parents were physicians. Most of these students don't have that advantage. They have to realize that this is a challenge that I have to face, but I'm ready for it.
That message of service and resilience resonated deeply with Luis Urias Hernandez, a senior in high school from Marina.
I know my community, I was raised here, and I was able to interact with so many community members, and just being able to learn from that was immense.
Even gaining more understanding of the realities, many students say they still hope to work in medicine.
That was Jillian Smith. And a note, Salinas Valley Health is one of KAZU's many supporters. Also in Monterey County, this week marked the start of the 116th annual California Rodeo Salinas, which continues through Sunday. I've got that story. Over 700 competitors and roughly 70,000 visitors are expected at California's largest rodeo this year. Mandy Linquist grew up in Salinas. She's the event's marketing director and says along with regional and national competitors, some are traveling from Australia and Canada.
This year we have a world-famous rope artist and charro, Tomas Garcilaso. It's beautiful to watch him perform.
Rodeo clown John Harrison's performances are also much anticipated, and the Friday night fireworks show is sure to draw large crowds.
We're also going to be celebrating America's 250th with some patriotic tributes.
Lindquist says the venue has a clear bag policy and encourages visitors to
wear your sunscreen, get out here early to enjoy shopping and food vendors and all of the activities that we have.
California Rodeo Salinas donates more than $800,000 to local nonprofits each year. And now for some Santa Cruz County updates. Coastal access is not equal among communities in California. That's according to a paper from UC Santa Cruz published this week. KAZU's Aaron Malsbury reports.
The researchers surveyed almost 1,700 people from San Francisco down to Ventura about their experience getting to the coast. Environmental Studies PhD candidate Emma G says Black and Brown communities in particular still face significant barriers.
There has been a very long history of displacing communities of color that live by the ocean that goes all the way back to Spanish colonization and displacing indigenous peoples.
She says transportation costs, comfort, and pollution can all make accessing the ocean and its benefits more challenging.
We recognize that a lot of these barriers are really intertwined with these very, very large overarching kind of issues of inequality in our country.
The researchers identified a few things that could help: reducing parking fees, increasing public transit routes to beaches, and supporting nonprofits that educate and help underserved groups feel welcome and safe.
That was Aaron Malsbury, who also reported this week on yellow permitting signs that surfaced along parts of West Cliff Drive. Here's Malsbury on why the city of Santa Cruz posted the notices.
City engineer Kevin Crosley says the posted permit notices are both for some completed emergency repairs and a future road realignment near Lighthouse Field.
About 600 feet of the roadway is going to be moved inland.
That construction is planned for next year. Erosion is natural in this area, but sea level rise and bigger storms are projected to accelerate the pace. The city recently started a Lighthouse Point hazard study to learn more about the converging sea caves and recent rock falls near the lighthouse. Crosley says plenty of signs already warn people to stay back.
The best thing we can do is encourage people to exercise caution and good judgment and, you know, give it space.
He adds that along this section of coast, future erosion is not a question of if, but when.
That was Aaron Malsbury. This week also brought updates from the city of Santa Cruz about a recent court win following a petition that challenged the legality of its sugary beverage tax. The city has faced years of opposition from beverage and business groups.
The process isn't quite over yet, even though we've been going for 8 years, really. So this has been a marathon.
That's Santa Cruz City Attorney Cassie Bronson. Santa Cruz first wrestled with taxing high sugar beverages in 2018. Then, in 2024, voters passed the city's sugar-sweetened beverage tax. It adds a 2 cent per ounce tax on drinks from distributors with over $500,000 in yearly profits.
We have local voters basically voting to tax themselves to benefit their own health and the health of their children.
Santa Cruz is the fifth California city to approve a tax like this. While the city anticipates an appeal, the tax will continue being collected. An oversight committee decides how to spend the money on projects centering local health and well-being, such as fixing broken water fountains. To round things out, let's kick things over to KAZU's Jillian Smith, who reported on a Salinas teen representing Monterey County on one of the world's biggest stages tomorrow. Smith spoke with the 17-year-old, who is the Boys and Girls Club Local, State, and Pacific Regional Youth of the Year, about what the opportunity means to her.
Neonti Rojas Mendoza will be a flag bearer during the FIFA World Cup final in New York on Sunday. The longtime Boys and Girls Club member says being selected is more than a personal achievement because she's representing the community that shaped her.
Me winning all these titles, it's a community win. The community that I'm around, they built me into who I am today.
She says she carries Salinas with her, especially local farmworker families who inspire her.
I'm representing all those farmworkers that are out there right now working really hard in this heat, and I won't forget that.
Rojas Mendoza will start at UCLA this fall and then represent the Pacific region at the Boys and Girls Clubs of America National Youth of the Year finals in October.
That was Jillian Smith, and that's a wrap on Monterey Bay this week. You can find all our stories online at kazu.org. This episode was produced by me, Katie Brown, with additional reporting from Jillian Smith, Aaron Malsbury, and Amy Mayer, who is also our editor and news director. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more local news. Have a great weekend.